All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. So the kind of first item of business is approving the minutes. So that was included in the packet that Vicki sent on Friday. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Doug. I looked at them, and they are as I remember, so I'll move the adoption of the minutes.
Great. I'll second that. Any discussion, any updates, feedback?
This is Josh. I noticed one typo as I was reading it, but that was, other than correcting a typo, it was looked good to me.
The content was okay, Josh?
Yes.
Okay. Seeing that there is no discussion as far as content, all those in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Sarah. So the motion carries. The next item of business is approving the loans. You will notice as that we only have one loan to approve.
This is Doug. I'll move the adoption of the one loan.
Okay, I will second that. So any discussion? I guess, Rich, why don't you maybe just anything you want to touch on with regards to this loan?
Not really. You know, there's a small community that's looking to buy a tractor, and they thought that we were offering a pretty good deal on financing that. So.
Okay, and I think, you know, to Rich's point earlier before the meeting officially started, that we expect our loan pipeline to continue to increase because of our lower rates that we approved last meeting. So you can expect more loans next time, but we just have one for today. So seeing that there's no more discussion, all those in favor of approving the loan to Rock Elm, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Sarah. So the motion carries. All right. So there's no old business, but there are two items under new business. The first is report on legal advice from DOJ regarding the state treasurer's ability to audit or request audits of unclaimed property. So there's kind of two aspects of this. One is Jonathan Berry sent us something actually on Sunday with regards to this. Jonathan, do you want to maybe highlight what you shared?
What I was highlighting and trying to highlight was the issue of unclaimed property third-party audits as distinct from the audits of the program. And to my
Jonathan, can you speak up a little bit?
My report was on third-party audits, and those have been prescribed by legislation, and so that's what my paper talks about. The program audits are what the treasurer is exploring with, my understanding, with the Department of Justice as to whether you have the authority to request or require an audit of the program, or does it need to go to the Legislative Audit Bureau? I don't have the answer to that. I would say that I did point out in my paper that in the previous years, Doug LaFollette raised the issue, why don't we have an audit of unclaimed property as a program? And we pursued that with the Department of Revenue. I can truthfully say that there was absolutely no interest on the part of the previous administration in checking on the progress of the transition. But Revenue did provide pretty good financial updates and became quite a bit more transparent in terms of the financials of the unclaimed property program. So that's distinct from the third-party audit.
So thanks, Jonathan, and I think that this is really helpful as far as kind of the overview. I will echo what Jonathan said as far as concerns that have been brought. We met with the librarians yesterday, and this is something that they continue to ask about what we were doing or what our stance was and how they can be helpful. So I guess I'm going to Josh, I guess a question for you is how to maybe best coordinate on this issue. I met with your team, with Charlie, almost, it will be 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, and I had a handful of questions as far as what we think might be some legal, what we need some legal counsel on. This was clearly one of them. I have not heard back from her on where this has been assigned or even where this is. So do you have any advice, Josh, on maybe how we can navigate this within DOJ?
So when it comes to advice to the treasurer's office, you can either follow up with Charlie or I can touch base with her and see where things stand. But I suspect they will follow up with you fairly soon.
Okay, because I guess, so I, what, at what point should I follow up with you knowing it will be 2 weeks tomorrow?
I can, what I can do is follow up myself and figure out where things stand and hopefully just get you an update on the timeline.
Okay.
And we can go from there.
Okay. That would be greatly appreciated. So maybe, Vicki, as far as, let's continue to keep this on for maybe old business for next time because I don't have an update yet because I was just waiting to hear back from. Oh. Yep.
This is Doug. I have a question. For Jonathan maybe or maybe Tom or maybe Josh, what was the motivation of the legislature to prohibit having those audits done?
Can we delay that and stick to the general audit question, Doug? Because I'd like to talk about that in my executive secretary report and just focus on the unclaimed property third-party audits. What I would like to point out right now, though, and for what Sarah is saying, is that since this whole program is transferred to the Department of Revenue, now going on 6 years, there's never been a reconciliation as to how the resources from the Treasurer's Office were utilized by the Department of Revenue to manage the unclaimed property program. There'd be a good argument to be made today that maybe an audit would be warranted, if for no other reason than to see where we stand starting out as the new Treasurer. But beyond that, I suspicion, you know, I know Rick Chandler, he's a good manager, good administrator, he didn't want this program, it was put upon him, and so he managed it. But like a good manager, I suspect strongly that he probably absorbed all the employees, gained some efficiencies, but kept the employees.
Yeah.
And there might be some employee positions in there that could arguably be, could be looked at for other utilization.
Well, and I think to that point, Jonathan, what's interesting is the Legislative Fiscal Bureau put that memo together aligning us even our office further responsibilities associated with unclaimed property. So it's just, I think, concerning that, to your point, this program hasn't been audited. We know that there's a lot of opportunity, which as a return, be a bigger return potentially to the Common School Fund, and we still have some statutory authority connected to unclaimed property, so what does that mean?
This is Doug again. I'll say this one time and I'll try to be quiet about it, but I would like this board to discuss sometime soon, maybe the next meeting, the idea of transferring that responsibility back to the state treasurer. I think Peter Barca would be supportive of that, and I think we should discuss it and then meet with Peter. And if he would co-sponsor legislation with a few friendly legislators, two Republicans, two Democrats, we might get that back where it belongs. Do either of you disagree with doing that?
Doug, this is Sarah. I don't disagree with that final kind of action. I guess my just kind of first step would be to get some feedback from the Department of Justice with this.
I didn't understand you. I couldn't hear very well for some reason.
What I said is that I don't disagree with that as the final kind of outcome that we're working towards. But in the interim, I'm just looking to see if there's any additional legal guidance we can have on this issue, because I don't think that has been explored. And so just getting some additional legal counsel, which Josh said that he's going to follow up with, and so hopefully we can have some additional insight on this and a couple other things for the next meeting.
Well, okay, that's fine, but there's no reason why we can't follow both paths. We can continue to explore the audit issue, but at the same time, we can meet with Peter Barta and hopefully and try to find some legislators, Tom and Jonathan, and possibly other people would have some suggestions. The sooner you get legislation started, the likelihood of maybe it getting into a committee and something happening. So I don't see why we can't start that process. You seem reluctant. I don't know why.
No, I'm not reluctant. I think what I'm doing is just trying to build a relationship with the legislature so we have the ultimate, we have the utmost buy-in on this.
All right, well, I would like to put this on the agenda for the next meeting to further discuss the idea of meeting with Peter Barta and having some legislation drafted.
Okay. Vicki's got that down. So I don't have any other updates on that specific item, and then we're going to talk about it next. Again, to your point, Doug, we're digging into this for next meeting about FERC. The other item under new business is revenue opportunities for the trust plan. So Tom, Jonathan, Rich, and I met last week, and really I think there are potentially two potential revenue opportunities with regards to our land. The first one is maybe looking at a partnership, whether it's with the U.S. Wildlife Service or even with the DNR, with how many acres of bog do we have, Tom?
About 20,000.
So we have about 20,000 acres of wetland, in essence, that isn't usable land. We clearly can't do timber on it. It's not sellable. And so one of the thoughts we have is, can we do a wildlife assessment to see if there's like unique birds or some sort of ecotourism attraction based on the wildlife that might be living there? So we are exploring that, and we'll also be connecting with the Secretary of DNR on this. The second revenue opportunity is there is a lovely lake property outside of Rhinelander that we've been looking at, again, for like a tourism potential relationship too with the Technical College. And so that is another piece that we're kind of exploring is like the second one. And then I would say the third is looking at how we can reorganize our land base in a way that optimizes our timber revenue. Part of our challenge is that we have parcels of land that are all located that it's hard to do potential large harvesting of timber, and so looking at ways that we can potentially sell land to increase our timber sales by purchasing land in other places. So those are kind of, I guess, the three areas that we are looking at with regards to revenue generation and our land operations.
Sarah, I didn't understand the second one. Something about Rhinelander, but what would we do in Rhinelander?
There's lake property that we have dug up in Rhinelander, and so it would be a really good potential tourism destination. And so looking at what we can do with that lakefront property with trails and potentially partnerships with a tech college, but I think it just opens up a lot of opportunity and some neat things that we could do, again, for revenue.
Okay, well, I'm not quite sure what they'd be unless we open up a campground and charge people for campground or something. I don't quite know what the tennis college would be involved.
So just so you know, the Department of Tourism has made ecotourism a number one priority, and so they're looking at ways in which they can work together. Access to land is part of their challenge, and so this could be a unique partnership.
That all makes sense to me, but are there any action items yet, or is that just sort of the current status update?
Yeah, I just wanted to more give you guys a status update because as the two of you are, no, I'm here at the BCPL probably twice a week, so these are some of the things that we are working on, so I don't want to just throw it at you last minute. I want to make sure we're continuing to keep both of you in the loop as we develop and explore these opportunities.
I think that makes sense, and thank you for all the work you're putting into this.
No, absolutely. It goes to the school kids, so it's well worth it. All right, seeing no new business, I'm just going to move on to routine business and our report from our Chief Investment Officer, Rich.
Thanks, Sarah. There's really been two things that happened since the last meeting. One is that the investment committee voted to change the mix of the stock ETFs that we're invested in. The prior mix was all in market value weighted capitalization weighted ETFs, which really limits the amount of access to small companies. And small companies, as you may know, have provided an above average rate of return to investors over the last many years. And so what we did is we wanted to add some exposure to small companies, and we did that by adding three new ETFs to the list that you see in your board agenda. And the other thing that happened is that interest rates fell dramatically, which gave us the opportunity to sell some of the bonds that we had bought several years ago, a lot of them in 2012 when interest rates were near zero. And so what that does is it increases the weighted average yield of our remaining portfolio and gives us liquidity to invest in new assets at a higher yield. The other thing that does is it increases the value of our current bond portfolio, because as interest rates go down, the prices of bonds go up. And so at our last meeting, I think our bond portfolio was showing a net loss near $7 million in total, not that we ever have to sell our bonds. But just the impact from the rate decrease over the last couple of weeks, the portfolio is now showing a net gain, unrealized gain of over $3.5 million. So it was about a $10 million move there, which I thought was interesting and a good way to point out the impact of changes in interest rate on the value. And those are really the two things. We were able to sell a little bit over $40 million in bonds during March, and the average yield on the bonds that we did sell was 3.27, which is much lower than the average yield on the portfolio as a whole. And so I think it was a good transaction and gives us some liquidity moving forward for diversifying our portfolio. Does anybody have any questions on that?
None from me. Thank you.
And I just want to chime in and also thank Rich for all of his work. As Josh and Doug, you are aware, one of our goals in the next couple of years is to further diversify our portfolio to increase our earnings so we can give even more money back to public schools in Wisconsin. And so Rich has really been leading the charge and kind of working with what's the best mechanism and how we can diversify this in a very smart way. And so we're just really grateful to Rich and all that he's doing with that, because it's quite a significant undertaking. So,
thank you.
All right, seeing no questions for Rich, I'm just going to move to the Executive Secretary's report.
I said thank you, Chairman. I provided a paper to you on early Sunday morning. I'm sorry I didn't get it done sooner, but it was on the issue of program audits for unclaimed property, and my specific reason in writing that was to bring up an explanation of what was involved with third-party audits. Doug, you asked the question of what was the motive for the legislature in adopting that, and of course, neither Tom nor I can ascertain the motives of them from any day-to-day basis, but I think it's safe to say the motive on the part of the business sponsors of that change was to avoid paying out unclaimed property to the rightful owners and to have what's called in the lexicon a lucrative silence. They can't utilize the unclaimed property per se, but it can become part of their balance. Let me give an example. Last August, I sold a business I was a part owner of, and we sold the business for whatever it was worth. And then when we're closing everything, we find that we have a series of paychecks that weren't cashed by employees. The law says that I'm supposed to contact all those employees by a couple of procedures, which we did, and then if I can't identify them, I'm supposed to remit a check to the Department of Revenue for the unclaimed property that has not been found, which we did. And it was only a few $1,000, but I paid the check. I'm telling you right now, without the audit on unclaimed property in force, there's no mechanism to enforce that. Businesses will no longer be following up on unclaimed property. Inevitably, I would guess that the school fund will lose some of the income that has been coming in the past. So the motive was clearly one of business convenience to avoid the inconvenience of the audit. That was the way it was explained by the main sponsors. The rest of it I explained in here. It is what it is. The Department of Revenue has the authority to do third-party audits. The Department of Revenue has the authority to do audits on unclaimed property. They're not allowed to contract for third-party audits. They could hire their own staff, but the staff doesn't exist, and that may be the only way to approach this. But the problem will, I think, get, if there is a problem, and I believe there is, the issue will get more important as the enforcement as the public perceives that there's no enforcement on this.
Mm-hmm.
Comment on that, Tom?
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary.
All right. Thank you.
So, Jonathan, this is Doug then. To clarify your answer to my question, if those audits were still allowed, any time a company went out of business, they would have to have an audit done to document if there was any unclaimed property. They didn't want to do that, so now they don't have to. Is that a good summary?
Well, actually, the example I gave is not the norm. The norm is a business, let's say a major retail business that is providing gift cards. And one of them got nabbed a few years ago that had millions of dollars worth of gift cards that were not ever reimbursed or claimed, and that money all went to their bottom line instead of going to the rightful owners. So the example I gave was not a really good one, but it highlighted the fact that without enforcement, there will be little incentive on the part of businesses to cough up or identify their unclaimed property. Now, there are some businesses, like financial institutions, that really can't get out from underneath it because of their other reporting requirements. Now you want to elaborate.
So a store with lots of gift cards, like Walmart or somebody, if those
right.
gift cards are not claimed, that money should go into unclaimed property?
Especially rebates. If you think about it, the law in Wisconsin, as in most other states, says that if you hold property for another person, if you have no contact with that person for a period of time, in some states it's 3 years, in some states it's 5 years, in essence, you are required then to file a report and file the money with who's ever operating the unclaimed property program. So in Wisconsin, that's currently the Department of Revenue. So the law requires that report. The law requires the money be turned over. But because there is no capacity right now in Wisconsin for the Department of Revenue to actually audit businesses to see whether they're complying or not, some businesses are making the choice of, well, if I can't get caught, if I can't get audited, why would I file the report and why would I turn the money over?
Okay, if the ability to audit still existed, how would revenue decide who to audit? How did that work in the, over the last 20 years or so?
40 years.
For several decades, there have actually been businesses that specialize in conducting these third party, these audits for who's ever operating the unclaimed property program. And so most states, in essence, hire these auditors.
And they work on a contingency basis, Doug, so that there's no a taxpayer liability unless the property is identified.
Okay, and those firms would take a percentage and turn the rest over to unclaimed property. Okay.
Yeah, typically I understand they were taking 12% of the proceeds found. The other reason for the third-party audits is that business has become national, in fact, multinational. And so the way the third-party audits have been conducted, it's been by state compact. States get together where there are a whole lot of businesses that are similarly in their each respective states, and they share the duty and the third-party auditing firm and audit all at once. And then when the property is identified, each state gets its share. The irony of the law that was passed is that the third-party audits by other states will still continue to go on. Mm-hmm. It's just that Wisconsin won't get any share.
Well, my first reaction is this is an outrageous thing. It's a pure giveaway to big corporations. Of course, with the Republican legislature, we're not likely to get it changed in a hurry. But I would think that maybe we should make some noise about it so the public begins to understand how they're being, particularly the schools, are being ripped off by this change in legislation.
Go
after them. Okay, I'll be quiet. Thank you.
If there are any other questions on this issue, I think I've covered the ground in the testimony I provided from the committee last year, and the email probably should cover it.
I understand it now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Any other questions?
No, thank you, Bill.
Well, thank you. I'm finished with that report then. That
okay.
seems enough.
So the next, just moving along with the agenda, future agenda items, I just think one thing that might be worth adding is maybe like a chair's report, because we're just moving, we're doing a lot, and so I would be more than willing to kind of share. There are just three kind of quick updates I want to provide to Doug, to you and Josh. The first one is that we did a freshman legislative meet and greet, kind of educational session. We last week, Wednesday, met with incoming legislators to talk with them about the value of the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, how much money we provide their district, whether it's through the State Trust Fund Loan Program, as well as to their districts for public education. I think it went really, really well, and we're planning on doing a similar session for just general legislators and staff. Something that has become really clear to me as I meet with legislators is that they have no idea the value that we bring, and so I want to make sure people continue to understand that and are aware of all the work that we do, because our returns help to keep property taxes low. So,
how many people attended that meeting?
Doug, we invited all 16 newly elected legislators, 15 assembly and one senator, and I think we had 9 people or 10 people there.
Yeah.
Not all of them were legislators, but staff attended as well.
Yeah.
So it could be better, and that's the nature of the thing, that everybody's really busy. But I think repetition's a good thing, and Sarah's pointing that out.
So that just continues to be something that we are working on, is just increasing our branding and visibility and value to Wisconsin. So so that's kind of the first update. The second update is that we did distribute our 2019 distribution to public school librarians yesterday, and that was $36.2 million. So that was clearly, they were excited about receiving that money. And then the third thing that I just want to mention, and Josh, this is more of a question for you, is that we did talk about the whole forfeiture statute that was passed during the lame duck. That does have an impact on the Common School Fund, and we've been getting a lot of questions about that. When I talked to Charlie, it sounded like there was an AG opinion that was given that it was not legal for the legislature to do that. I guess my question is, have you guys gone public with this information, or what's kind of the strategy since we have been getting a lot of questions about it due to its impact on the Common School Fund?
So the short version is that I'm not aware of any opinion having been issued. I mean, I can tell you that my view is that the language in the extraordinary session legislation cannot possibly require forfeiture funds for the state to be deposited into the general fund, because those funds are already obligated to elsewhere. And so, you know, frankly, the legislation is not clearly written. It's drafted very broadly, but there are multiple circumstances in which money is owed to third parties. For example, if there's a relator in a Medicaid TTOM fraud action, there's money owed to the relator. And it can't be the case that that money goes to the general fund rather than to the third party. So my view is that the money, notwithstanding the extraordinary session legislation, should continue to go to the common school fund. As you, I'm sure, are all aware, there is ongoing litigation relating to the extraordinary session legislation as well. So we don't know how that's going to play out yet, but irrespective of how that comes out, my view is that there should not be an impact on the forfeitures that are going to the Common School Fund.
So just a process question for you, Josh, since I am not the attorney with the board. So when groups come to us asking about the status, like do they need to reach out to their representative or senator to do something about this? How should we be advising them?
Because I don't think the statute applies to those funds, I don't think there's anything that needs to be done. It could be that somebody else, the legislature or members of the legislature, will take a different position on that issue. It's possible that there will be a dispute over that. I don't think there should be, for the reasons I mentioned, but, as I mentioned before, there's still ongoing litigation. So whether, you know, what's ultimately upheld, remains to be seen. In any event.
So, Josh, I guess just my one request of you is, can you just continue to update us on this as it develops or if anything changes?
Yeah, if the Department of Justice's position on that issue changes, I will certainly let everybody know that.
Great. Thank you.
The issue to me is pretty clear. I mean, it would, if there were to be, if an issue were to come up with that, I think it would come up in either discussions with the legislature or potentially in court. But I don't foresee that changing.
Okay. Appreciate that. That's all I have on my end for updates.
This is Doug. I'll repeat my request for a future agenda item. Ask Tom to please give us a little bit of a report on how it would be possible or what to return the duties from revenue, and look at the kind of a rough draft of legislation. It should be pretty simple. You can just go back and look at what passed several years ago and see how that would be reversed. And if you have any opportunity to talk to anybody who might be interested in supporting that, please let us know.
Doug,
have you ever talked to Tom? Have you ever talked to Gary Goyke about this? If not, I'd add my request to bounce it off Gary and see if he has any idea of legislators. Okay.
Doug, let me make a comment. I think one thing what need to be considered is the entire program was transferred to the Department of Revenue. At least one piece of it, unprocessed, and it makes sense to be at Revenue. That's the piece that connects the taxpayers with the property of people that hold unclaimed property. And so that administrative part of it, I guess what I'm saying is that the first thing that has to be done is the legal, and the second thing is an analysis of how much, if of the program should be transferred back, if in fact it could be transferred.
Well, that would be part of what Tom would advise us about.
Thanks.
Any other additional agenda items for our next meeting?
Jonathan, I was just going to mention that the typo I mentioned before is in the first clause of item 6. The word routine should be routine. And can we authorize the staff to correct any, typos or non-substantive errors in the minutes?
Absolutely. See, we don't need a motion to do that. It's just bring it up, we'll put it in and correct it.
Yeah, and I think that's in parliamentary procedure. There's no motions needed to change that.
It's hard to transcribe some of these minutes the way that, the conversation is rapid and Vicki does her best, and then Tom and I kind of go through it with her, but occasionally we slip up with something like that. So we'll just, it's fine to fix it editorially.
Great, I appreciate it.
Any other future agenda items?
This is Doug. I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
I second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a good day. Thank you.